This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 70 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate.
That's my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, we are starting our non-franchise, well, this month, I should say, our non-franchise reviews. Now, all of these reviews for the next, I think it's 5 weeks, are going to be movies that our Patreon patrons chose. So we have a Patreon. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. And we asked them, what movies do you guys want us to review? We didn't put up a poll. They just gave us a list, and we're going to be reviewing those over the next few weeks. So the first one up was picked by our patron, Jay. Shout out to Jay for picking this movie. And the movie is The Raid Redemption. Now, Alex, when is the last time you saw this movie, if ever?
Dude, it's been a long... I've seen the first one. I've never seen the sequel. It's been ages. I think I've seen it once and that's it. Because when I watched this movie, it looked brand new to me. And I never seen the unrated version of this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, it's been a long time for me as well. Maybe 7 years or so. Like, yeah, I've seen it, but 7 years is a long time ago. But I told you off air, I saw this movie in an empty movie theater with nobody. Like, this was one of those movies that I think found a life after theaters. Nobody really saw it. It didn't have a big US. I know we're going to get to box office in a minute, but I don't think it made a big success until video. So with that being said, before we get to anything, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button down below. Subscribe to the channel. We're still pretty new in this channel, so we don't have a lot of subscribers. Go ahead and join, because we're going to be a lot of videos coming up of all our past episodes before we were the amazing people we are now. You could watch some of those, and all the new ones are going to be coming out as well. If you're listening on the go, make sure you subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice, be it Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, whichever one you use. Make sure you're getting downloads every week. Thursday and Saturday, new episodes drop. So that being said, Alex, how did this movie do? I know we don't guess anymore, but yeah. I'm guessing it's not a lot. I don't think this movie made a lot here, especially.
No, it did not. Well, look, the box office numbers for Raid Redemption from 2011 is domestic $4 million, international $5 million, on a worldwide of $9 million, on a budget of $1.1 million. So technically it's a hit.
Okay. So it has made 8 times its budget without. Now, keep in mind, there is a sequel to this. I'm guessing that 8 times its budget plus DVD sales. I know this did well on video. There's always these movies that come out that they sneak in the theater, nobody sees it. And then they get this life on video and everyone's like, have you seen this movie? This is one of those movies. But before we do that, let's get you some critic score. Now, nobody went to see this, but the critics were saying maybe you should, because this has an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. This also has an 87% audience score. So same exact number. Critics really liked it. Audiences really liked it. But at the end of the day, who cares if they liked it? Because you're here to know if me and Alex like this movie. So we're going to be going ahead and reviewing it now. Alex, I'm going to let you take it off the top. Lead character played by Iko Uwais, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
He's the lead in this. Take it away.
Yeah, so he plays Rama. That's his character. And honestly, he was really good. Now, I was watching this in subtitles. I was trying to see if this movie has English audio, but it did not. It was just subtitles. So it was kind of hard. So you're going to help me out throughout this for the storyline. Okay. If I'm getting it right from what I was reading. But in terms of the character was really good. His fighting techniques was amazing. The camera style of him doing his stuff looked really well. It looked like he did his stunts. From what I was reading, he was really believable. I was with the character throughout, even screaming like, holy crap. I gave him a 5. I thought he was great. I think with the elements of the drama, him getting stuck in the building, and then him fighting all that together, I gave him a 5.
Hey, great score. So yeah, I gave him a 4, but that's only because this is such a, and we're going to get to it in storyline, but this is such a simple film, in character and storyline, that he's good. You're with him. You know, he got a pregnant wife at home.
Yeah.
This, the director knew this is very, it's very economic in its storytelling. There's a guy, you don't know him, and he has a pregnant wife. You're automatically wanting him to survive, period. Right. You know what I mean? You don't root against someone who's got a pregnant wife at home ever. So you're instantly in with him. But that's really all the backstory you get. You know, he's an honest guy. We got a wife at home. You know what I mean? And I could always get behind that. Beyond that, it's not a too much to him. It's the only reason I gave him a 4. Now, what I will say is the actor is very good, and he does all his own fighting and his own stunts. He's incredible in that regard. But as a character, I gave him a 4, but I do like him. He's a good character to follow. So main villain. Now, this guy, I don't remember his name. I don't remember anyone's name except Rama and Jaka. Jaka's played by Joe Taslim, who, of course, played Sub-Zero in the new Mortal Kombat movie.
His name is Tama.
Tama, yeah. Rama Jaka. Yeah, Rama Lama Ding Dong. So I like this villain because I hate this villain. He is such a bastard, okay? First of all, I don't like looking at him, okay? It actually makes me upset to look at him. That is a good thing for a villain, right? If you look at him and you're like, ew, that's a plus. And his opening scene, this dude's just literally shooting people in the head, killing them, and he hits a guy with a hammer. He's terrible. I still have a cap on him, similar to the lead character. I gave him a 4 because he is a boss type villain. But the reason why I gave him higher than the normal boss type villains is that opening scene alone shows how brutal he is. He doesn't only have people do the stuff for him. He will kill you as well. He will blast you. If you can hit someone in the head and kill him with a hammer, you automatically are a pretty terrible person, in my opinion. And plus, I hate his face. So I think he's effective, which is why I gave him a 4.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with you on the villain part. He was really good, but he was not in the fight. They got him pretty quick, and they killed him pretty quick. So with that said, I gave him a 3.5. I thought he was really good. Yes. Was he menacing? Yeah, absolutely. But he stood in a room and let everyone else does his bid. People were scared of him, but he was, yep. He did do some stuff, like when he stabbed the guy in the hand. And I was like, yep. Wow, that's pretty cool. So with that, I gave him the 0.5 point for that stuff. Like, he was menacing, but I didn't see nothing more than someone staying in a room for me. Yep. So, yeah.
Well, no, I agree with you. But we got to say his henchman, Mad Dog, this guy is
badass.
The best.
Yeah.
If we were scoring a henchman, 5. A 5. He is one of the best henchmen in the village. Like, this dude to take on, he's not scared of nobody. He's about my height. He's 5'0", and he will absolutely, just absolutely destroy you. I loved him, but he's not the main villain. But what'd you think of him?
I would have gave him a 10 for an henchman, bro. This dude fought with like a neon light in his neck, and he was still whooping ass. And I was like, yo, this dude is like one of the craziest dudes ever. Yeah, he was amazing. And first of all, him and the choreograph between him and the main lead, Rama, and then his brother, or whoever the hell he was, who was there with him. That was one of the best fighting scenes I think I ever seen within 3.
Yeah, and one thing too, a fun fact too, he was the fight choreographer for the movie, which might explain why it's so good.
Yeah.
Him and another guy are the ones who actually came up with all the fight choreographies.
Okay.
Wait, is a legend.
It's great, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So now you get to go first on my favorite subject, the action.
Oh my God. There's a 5. It's like, there's no way you can score this lower than a 5. This movie is a 5. First of all, let's just get this out the way, okay? The fight sequences alone, okay? When he's going from the room to room and they're fighting their way all over the place, it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Him going through the hallway was crazy. My favorite scene, not him fighting the guy with the dude in the, that was a great scene. My favorite scene, okay, and I told you this when we did the Expendables last episode, is when he has the baton and he is stabbing dudes. And like, oh my God, I was going crazy. I said, oh my God, this is crazy. And again, I didn't see the unrated version. So I'm like even going crazy. I'm like, this is nuts. Then him going through the factory, him where everyone is all running and he's fighting the dude, and they did the Harry Potter when they run the long table and they fighting each other on the table. They're gonna duel. Amazing. I was like, that is so awesome. This movie, flat out, even with the shooting, looked great. It was amazing. There was no other way to put this. This is a absolute 5 for amazing action scenes, man.
Well, listen. If you sit and watch this movie, if you say, hey, I love action movies, and then you watch this and you don't think the action's a 5, I don't believe you that you like action movies. Let's just put it that way. I don't believe you. You're not telling the truth to me. You're lying to everybody. First of all, I got to shout out the martial arts style in this movie. It's called Pencak Silat. Okay. And it's an Indonesian, this is where the movie is from, Indonesia. It's an Indonesian martial art where they use everything. Every part, the point of the martial art is that every part of your body is a weapon. Oh. So you got like elbows, fists, knees, feet, heads, back, shoulder, anything you can hit someone with, you hit them with. That's the whole kind of theory behind this particular martial art. It's very brutal. Okay. This is R-rated. Fully R-rated. I absolutely love it. We've talked about it here. Give me hardcore R-rated action any day of the week. When someone stabs someone, I want to see them get stabbed. You know what I mean? There's blood. There's squibs. People get shot, they bleed. People get stabbed, they bleed. They get wrecked in this movie. I totally love it. The whole, when the main character goes crazy and just starts fighting like 1,000 guys, is one of the best scenes. Mm-hmm. I love it. And the thing is, it's extremely, extremely well executed. This director, Gareth Evans, he has only directed 3 films, and now he's working on a TV show. I'm dying for him to direct like an American movie, like infuse an American Hollywood movie with this. You know what I mean? He's apparently rumored to direct a Deathstroke movie for DC. So if it's going to have this style of action and fighting, a beautiful choice. Give the man. I do know he has a movie coming up with Tom Hardy. So I definitely want to see that too. He can shoot. He can shoot. He can shoot. He can shoot. You know, you mentioned in our Expendables about the shaky cam. The camera in this movie moves, but it's intentional and you can always see what's happening. It's not shaky. It's not in their nostrils. No. You know what I mean? It's almost like the camera's part of the action throughout the whole thing, but yeah, in a very cool, awesome way. It's a 5. I'd give it a 6 if we were allowed, but it's a 5. Absolutely. All right. Storyline. So I think the storyline's good, but this is another one where it is very, there's no frills to this storyline. You know what I mean? There's a no frills storyline. Bad guy, a drug dealer, a drug kingpin is taking over this building. This elite squad of police officers are going in to get him. That is literally the plot. If you're going to tell someone, if someone says, hey, what's the raid about? That's it. Just say that. That's what it's about. And they got to go floor by floor fighting all the people in this building because the head guy basically says, hey, if you kill these cops, you could live here for free. So now people who aren't even like, you know, don't even work for him are like, well, I'm poor because it's like a poor part of town. No, this is not like a luxury apartment or anything. So he basically stacked the odds where it's like 1,000 guys against, you know, 20 cops. This has a lot of tropes, right? Because it's cops and robbers, bad guys. It's a lot versus a little. There's a lot of those kind of like 300 and a movie I just watched recently, 13 Assassins, like a few people versus a million people. But these things all work. You know, they're easy to watch. It is subtitled, so you do have to read, but you're just reading dialogue. There's no like super heavy story beats you got to read about. So yeah, it's simple. I didn't want to give it too high of a score because I do think it's kind of regular in that regard. I gave it a 3.5. I don't think the storyline is the strength of this movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, first of all, like I said, I was reading, but then I got lost with the action when I was reading and they were talking. The storyline was very generic. Like you said, they're going in to get this bad guy, but then there's corrupt cops from what I was reading. There's corrupt cops.
Yeah, the white-haired guy.
Yeah, like he was corrupted. And I gave it a 3. It's a good storyline, but it's typical as every other cop storyline, whether you watch it in foreign version or United States version. They're going for the bad guy. They got to go through all these waves of bad guys to get to him. And again, it was a generic story. So I gave it a 3.
Fair enough. Okay. No. Overall.
All right. Overall. Now, I gave it a 4. Now, I don't think it's a masterpiece or whatever. I think it was a great film. It's a great film. The only nitpick that I got, and I know for a fact because I wrote this in my notes here, came out in 2011. Judge Dredd came out in 2012. It is exactly the same storyline as Judge Dredd with Kurt Urban. Now, I remember reading an interview and they were saying that this Judge Dredd came out first, but the studio decided to push it back because they didn't want to promote the damn thing. And they didn't care for Judge Dredd. So then Redemption came out in 2011. And a lot of people are now saying that they're both the same movie. Technically, they are the same movie. They're just going up the building. They're getting the drug dealer. It's the same exact movie, frame by frame, if you really think about it. It is frame by frame. And it's sad to say because I love Judge Dredd. I love Dredd and I keep fighting. And I love Raid Redemption. I do see the similarities in storyline. It's just that sad to see that, you know, because of the studio that put out Dread hurt the film without releasing it first. Whereas, so it's kind of weird, right? Like, it's just a weird thing.
So parts of that are, so it wasn't necessarily that it was going to come out first, but they were filmed at essentially the same time.
Yeah.
So the problem was that The Raid came out first, and then people were saying that Dread was derivative because, oh, well, this movie has the same storyline and you're copying them. And I remember the director and Alex Garland, who was the writer, like, they basically said, hey, look, like, we couldn't plagiarize their movie because we were filming at the same time that they were filming, pretty much. Yeah. And they're a small $1 million Indonesian production. We're, you know, we're over here. So you're right. It's one of those things where, like, the timing was bad, but I don't think they copied each other. It just so happened that there was two movies with similar premises being made at the same time, one foreign, one Hollywood. And, you know, I think Dredd made more money, but Dredd is also a Hollywood production. I don't think it hurt either film because both are well liked by fans. But yeah, it probably hurt them both. Well, I don't think it hurt this one. I think it hurt Dredd financially, probably.
That's what I mean. Like, I think it hurt that one because people were like, oh, this is Raid Redemption. Like, who, why?
Yes,
they ripped exactly. It. So, like, why am I going to watch a movie that I already know what's going to happen? And it sucks because, again, this is something we're going to tackle in one of the episodes. We are going to do Dredd. Just to finish off the Dredd, you know, original and remake. And it sucks for me. Look, I gave this a 4. I think it's a fantastic movie for anyone out there that is looking for pure action and you don't want to read the storyline. Again, even with you can see the way their body language, you already know what's going on in the movie. But if you want to put subtitles, put the subtitles. But this movie is straight adrenaline, action, junkie, loving in the oven movie that you will love. This is pretty much what it is, man. It's this. I gotta say, this is top notch action sequences is in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a good film, but I think this is an amazing action film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is so. The action is so good, and like you said, if you are an action movie fan, this is an action movie through and through. It doesn't try to be anything else. It's not trying to have some deep meaning or some grand story or nope. It is trying to show bone crunching action, incredible choreography, great direction. You know, for a $1 million budget, there's some shots in the shot with the scene where they shoot the shotgun and it's in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
And you see like the explosion and then the bullet coming out and it's going down the hall to shoot the kid and it goes through his neck. Like, to do some of that stuff with such a low budget, the direction is great. I love the scene, too, where they're shooting the door and then all the guys are up on the second floor and they're shooting down with the machine guns.
Yeah.
There's a sign for everybody, but the direction's incredible. I gave it a 4.5 because I always scored this like a 9 out of 10. I think it's a great action movie. You're right. And by the way, I know we may cover it down the line. I know you haven't seen The Raid 2. The Raid 2 is The Raid 1 if with a better storyline, essentially.
Okay.
It is a big, like, big, deep crime movie that then has, like, just as incredible of action scenes as this movie. So it's way, I think it's way better. But this one's more efficient. This one is, like, no frills, less than 2 hours action. That one's about 2.5 hours because it has a bigger story.
Okay.
But imagine if, like, The Godfather had incredible action scenes. It's not on the level of Godfather, but it's that kind of movie. Because you got a crime family, and he infiltrates it, and all that kind of stuff.
How about, you remember in the scene that he fights the dude in the hallway, and then he does the backward neck drop into the...
Onto the machete?
No, onto the door.
No, not a machete, it's a door. Yeah, on the door.
Yeah, I said, oh my, he RKO'd him. Sonny's like, oh, boo! Yeah,
well, like, you know, The Raid 2, he fights 1,000 guys in the prison bathroom. There's a car scene in that movie that I had to watch the special feature just to see how they did it. It was amazing. Look, well, maybe we'll cover it one day. But either way, total score. For me, it's a 21 out of a 25. What do you got?
I got a 20 out of a 25.
So but either way, whether you're listening to me or listening to Alex, this is clearly a great action film. Very worth your time. Again, it's Indonesian, so it is subtitled. But look, honestly, read the words. Just stay for the action. You can stop reading and pretty much tell what's going on, to be quite honest with you. So it's a great movie. Anyway, that is the show. Now, next week, we will be covering The Expendables 2.
Oh, yeah.
And then we will be continuing with our Patreon requested films. Our patron, Robert, selected a movie called To Live and Die in L.A. I have never seen this film.
Nope.
Alex, have you ever seen? Neither of us have ever seen this film. So this will be a first time watch. And just to give you guys a preview of what else we got coming up from the patrons, we're going to be reviewing Kick-Ass. We're going to be reviewing The Long Kiss Goodnight. And we're going to be reviewing Cradle to the Grave. So some real bangers coming up after. Well, I don't know if To Live and Die in L.A. is a banger because I never seen it, but I've seen those other movies and I'm looking forward to talking about them. So, yeah, that's what we got coming up.
Yeah. So if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out a podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast. And of course, if you want to take us on the go, please search for Action Movie Guys on anywhere you listen, whether it's Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you listen to your podcast on. And then, of course, on YouTube, please hit those like buttons, hit those notification bells so every time we go live. And then, of course, subscribe to the channel and support the channel. That is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
And I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.